This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We've got about a half hour from now. We have Daniel Turner coming on. He's going to talk about the AI data centers and the power grid and what it means. I'm totally nerding out on this, fascinated by this whole thing. Maybe you'll find it boring. Maybe you'll geek out with me on it, but I want to know what's coming and why it's coming. So that's coming up about a half hour from now. We'll do some emails. But before I get to that, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to touch on this briefly. There's something I haven't quite figured out. I can see it. It's very obvious to me, and I haven't figured out the why behind it. And that thing is Democrats and their use of the F word, their public use. It's not only the F word, their public use of profanity. And before I go into this, I just want to be clear that I am obviously no saint whatsoever. I'm not sitting here preaching to you about something. I've used more potty words in my life than I ever should have. Okay, I'm not encouraging you to ever do so. I just want to be clear that I'm not moralizing against it. But when I see patterns, I start looking for why. Remember, for instance, when Trump, about the Epstein stuff, all of a sudden started coming out saying, shut up and move on, you idiot. Shut up and move on, you idiot. He said it several times. And that's when I predicted they're going to leak something. Why did I predict that correctly? Because I noticed a pattern. Donald Trump says the same thing several days in a row. Why? It makes me ask why. So Hunter Biden recently sat down for an interview. And I realize it's Hunter Biden and he's a crackhead and he's a nut job, but tell me if you notice anything with this little clip.
Number one, I agree with Quentin Tarantino. George Clooney is not a actor. He is a I don't know what he is. He's a brand. And yeah. By the way, and God bless him. You know what? He supposedly treats his friends really well. You know what I mean? Buys them things. And he's got a really great place in Lake Como. And he's great friends with Barack Obama. You. What do you have to do with anything? Why do I have to listen to you? What
We got it. Believe me, it goes on and on and on. Beep, 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 beep. It's awful. I'm not just picking on Hunter Biden. Elected Democrats, senators, members of the House, where I never saw this before ever out of either party ever, will now regularly talk like this in public.
To understand enough about the Constitution to the extent that I'm the one that's supposed to make the decision or at least get a vote.
If you could speak directly to Elon Musk, what would you say? off.
It's not just young ones either. It's older ones. There's a pattern happening. Stephen Colbert on his show last night, that filthy communist who got his show canceled and then Trump hilariously made fun of him for it. National television, CBS, said this.
On Friday, Donald Trump posted, "I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings." How dare you, sir? Would an untalented man be able to compose the following satirical witticism? Go f*** yourself.
Comedic genius Jon Stewart, this is from Not the Bee, sings the F word for a full minute to react to Colbert's show getting canceled. I am not even sure I should have done this little segment because I don't have an actual answer. But something is happening and I can't figure out why. When all the animals start speaking the same way, doing the same thing, there is a reason for it. I don't know whether this is what I suspect. Okay, this is just a suspicion. I don't know. Democrats understand, multiple Democrats have come out and explained that normal people, working class people, have left them. They are now the party of the rich urban elite. They just are. If you are in a rich urban elite population center, that's going to be heavily Democratic. But anywhere outside of that, working people, even unions, are leaving the Democrat Party in droves. They know they have a problem there. They don't know how to fix it. So when you're Dome and you're running for president and you roll Tim Walz out there to try to make sure white people don't think you hate them as much as you very clearly do, and he goes hunting and can't seem to put rounds in a shotgun, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, but it's clear what they were doing. Hey, normal guy, I'm not a dirty communist who hates you. Look at me pheasant hunting. It was embarrassing. I think maybe in kind of an ugly bit of a crass fashion, I think maybe this renewed use of a bunch of potty words by elected officials and powerful people, I think maybe it's an effort to let construction guy know, to let union guy know that, hey, I still care about you. And if you can't drive that home with your policies and every single day you're explaining why white people suck, you try to do that by saying the F word because you assume he says the F word when he's out there working asphalt. That's my suspicion. I don't know that that's true, but I know this. I'm only 44. I swear I know I may look 64, but I'm 44 years old. Never in my childhood and for most of my adult life do I remember a politician saying a cuss word in public. And if they did, it was always a, and it wasn't even a super bad one. They might get caught saying it privately. They might get quoted saying it privately because they're human beings and human beings say things when they stub their toe. Not that I would ever do something like that. But publicly, they'll put these things out on social media publicly. I'm not sure I know why. Anyway, let's do some emails tonight, shall we? Dr. Jesse, too often we hear the argument that illegal immigrants are needed as farm and hospitality workers. Those working in these fields have already been here for decades. Why do we suddenly need 20 million more people? It's not that Democrats think we need farm workers and people to pick the strawberries. Remember what I tell you about communists? How they use your values against you? Because they don't have values, none that you would recognize. That gives them complete freedom, complete moral freedom to take whatever values you have and use it against you. However, they don't share your values, so they may think they know what your values are, but they can't ever be sure because they don't share them, right? They don't share them. So what do you do if I'm trying to use your values against you and I don't share your values, so I don't share your heart? What do I do? Well, I try a bunch of different things. If I If I can't quote the Bible to you, hey, Jesus said, if I try that and it doesn't work, okay, well, dang it, I thought that was going to work. I'll move on. And you see Democrats with almost every single issue, when they're losing on one, they'll try this. The, we need people to clean the hotel rooms and pick our strawberries for us. That's not because they care about any of those things. That's an effort to get it home to you. It's not only a, hey, don't you like strawberries? It's also, there's a little threat built into there. Hey, don't you like strawberries? And if we don't have Pedro doing it, you're going to be out there in the fields breaking your back. Do you want to have to go break your back in the fields? Of course you don't. Just let Pedro do it and all of his friends. That's the message. It's a message trying to use your values against you, trying to sell you on why you want cheap strawberries, while at the same time, a little threat built in. You don't want to clean hotel rooms, do you? As if that's something we can't do. That was the first job my sister ever had, was cleaning hotel rooms. As if American citizens of every color can't pick strawberries or don't know how to work physically or work with their hands. That's crazy. But that's all it is. None of it is based on facts or reality or how they really feel on something. Everything is an effort to weaken your defenses. Whatever way they can do it, they will do it. If they quote the Bible and it doesn't work, they'll move on and mention the strawberries. If that doesn't work, they'll move on and mention something else. Or then they'll mention something else. And then they'll mention something else. They'll just shift from one argument to the next. And it's not because they believe in a single one of these arguments. It's all in an effort to weaken your defenses to them. Period. End of story. Now, let's do some more emails. Before we do that, though, I want to touch again briefly on this Rear Admiral Buttigieg scandal from the Department of Transportation, because Sean Duffy came out today and said something. But speaking of hiring Americans, that's something that you like, I hope. I do. It's something that I appreciate so much about Pure Talk, I'll tell you. It's not just that their CEO was a Vietnam veteran. It's not just that they save me money. I like that part. It's so nice to talk to an American. Whenever I've had to get a hold of Pure Talk, hey, I want a new phone, or I want to add a line, or I want to do this or do that. It's almost, and I know this, I talk about it for a living. It's almost a shock when they get on the phone and they speak English and they understand English. They not only hire Americans, they hire Americans right here in the USA. When you pick up your phone and you dial #250 to switch your cell service to Pure Talk, you not only save money, you not only can get a new phone or keep your phone, you get to speak to someone who understands you. And maybe I'm just a mean old man. I'm so tired of repeating myself on the friggin' phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly and reward an American company for American jobs. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should, your love, your hate, your death threats. Email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, whatever, into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So I mentioned this story a little bit yesterday about Pete Buttigieg, the Rear Admiral, and how he took in all this money because he was the head of Department of Transportation, and he used it on things that are not okay. Listen to this.
Why are you gay?
Sorry, that was the wrong one. Listen to this.
Federal spending records and airline industry insiders are indicating that Pete Buttigieg failed and basically ignored all outdated air traffic control systems, which failed miserably in Newark earlier this year. He basically ignored all of that, instead spending the money that was allocated to his department, on more than $80 billion of it, on diversity, equity, and inclusion grants, instead of updating those old air traffic control systems. At least half of the Department of Transportation's entire budget for a typical fiscal year, programs such as Justice 40, ended up shelling out 55% of around $150 billion in infrastructure investments to disadvantaged communities.
He spent half of his budget handing out money to his political allies. Sean Duffy, current transportation secretary. That was Newsmax. This is him, Sean Duffy.
There wasn't a focus on building big, beautiful projects that connect people. It was really about spending infrastructure money to drive an ideological agenda, mm-hmm. whether it be the green agenda or the diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda. And in the end, they've only hurt the American people because a lot of money was spent and there's not a lot of deliverables for that money.
Just remember that voting for Democrats gets you this every single time. Every single time. Because Democrats are communists, and that's what communists believe in. When a communist tries for a political office or a position like the Department of Transportation, he will work very hard to present a good face to you, to lie to you about what he intends to do. Because he knows you don't want him doing what he's about to do. But no matter what he says to you, his intention is to grab that position of power, whatever it is, and to use the power and money that comes with that for the revolution. Chris, I want you to grab me something. Klaus Schwab, when he talks about shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism, and it's a bit of a long audio cut, but we've brought it up before, and you understand exactly, Chris understands exactly where I'm going with this. What he lays out, and I'm going to let him use his own words with his weird German accent, but what he lays out is a plan. He doesn't use these words, but it's essentially the communist plan to take over corporate America. Oh, you have it? Go play it. Play it.
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with the social responsibility.
Stakeholder capitalism, what does that mean? Well, it means that corporations shouldn't be used for profit to help the shareholders. After all, we all have a stake. Everybody's a stakeholder, even people not involved in the company. And the corporation, he mentioned it at the end, has a responsibility to everyone. But what does all this flowery language mean? Allow me to break it down for you. The communists looked at all the power and money in corporate America and said, wow, we could use that for our revolution. And they started to conquer corporate America. But they do this wherever they are, whatever the institution is. It could be a private institution. It could be a government institution. It could be the mayor's office. It could be the public library. It could be a school teacher. It could be a corporate CEO. It could be head of the Department of Transportation. It could be the office of the presidency. Whatever power you are able to get your hands on as a communist, you don't think about what you should be doing on behalf of your company or your library or your class or your country. Those thoughts never, ever, ever enter your mind. You have been given power, power that should be used for the revolution. How in the world could anybody in their right mind justify using half of the Department of Transportation budget on crazy cultural Marxist things? He would never consider doing otherwise. What's the point of being the head of the DOT and having this power and having this huge budget if you can't use it for the revolution? You ask why they would do those things? I would argue if you ask that question, you are naive to the fact he doesn't know any other way. Your kid's fourth grade teacher has a Black Lives Matter flag and tells your son he should cut his penis off because she's not a teacher. She's a revolutionary. A revolutionary who has access to legions of children. Every year she gets a new batch and she's going to use her power, whatever power she has, for the revolution. That's how the communist thinks. Let's move off of this and let's talk about AI and our power grid. And this is about to be nerdy and wild and interesting. Daniel Turner is going to join us to talk about that next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful Tuesday. And joining me now, as promised, is my friend, you know him well, Daniel Turner with Power the Future. First of all, Daniel, before we get into your report and all that other stuff, an Italian sub, there's a debate here in the Jesse Kelly Show team whether an Italian sub should be hot and toasty and melty, or whether you should eat it like some kind of a barbarian, cold. What say you?
Well, I think you've biased my answer with your language, what? But no. A classic Italian sub, I would eat. I would not eat hot. I would eat it cold. Yeah.
Why?
If
what's
I'm doing
problem?
Like a chicken parm sub, of course. Like I want the cheese melted. I want the chicken cutlets hot. I want the sauce hot. But if I'm doing like salami and mortadella and cheese and you know, like the spicy, like red pepper paste. I want all that cold.
So when you eat a cold Italian sub, you say to yourself, thank God this cheese isn't melty? Is that what you say?
I mean, you can eat some cheese without it being melted, right? Like you just eat a piece of cheese, like with cheese and crackers. Not all cheese is melted. Some cheese is good, firm and hard.
You know what? I just want to move on. I want to move on. Let's talk about your area of expertise, because very clearly it's not Italian subs. I want to talk about the report you just did. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Wait, but why are you eating our food anyway? You hate Italians. You always talk about how you can't have – before we go on to energy, you can't despise the culture – And then say you want to take the food. Like, you got to take one with the other, Jeff.
Well, that's why I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to help you people out. If you could warm up your subs, maybe I'd warm up to you. Maybe it's on you, really. All right, quit. Focus on energy. What report did you put out? How bad are things, or good are things?
No, things are good, but we have a very bright future, but we got to do a lot of stuff first. And the report that we put out, which you can find on powerthefuture.com, is about artificial intelligence and the future energy needs that we have for it. And this is some serious undertaking that we have, right? Your average amount of electricity that we use as a country needs to more than triple in the next couple of years if we're going to power all of these data centers. And what we're doing is we're building these data centers left and right, and we're not building the infrastructure to support them. So let's make a comparison. Not sure where you and your listeners live, but we all know about suburban sprawl, right? That the council gives permission to build 8,000 homes down this road. It used to be a field, and now there are 8,000 homes. But you know what they never give permission for is they don't widen the road, right? They don't change the intersections. And then suddenly what used to be a little country lane is now like a traffic jam. And you scratch your head and say, what the hell happened here? Like, how is it such a disaster? And it's a disaster because there was so much excitement about building 8,000 homes, but building roads is boring. Building sewer and water lines is boring. Electricity, let's build the homes, right? That's the exciting stuff. That's what we're doing with AI. We're building data centers because there's so much money in data, and we want to be the AI capital. Texas wants to be the AI capital. My home state of Virginia wants to be the AI capital. Pennsylvania just had that monster event last week with President Trump, but they want to be the AI capital. So everybody wants AI and data centers, but no one is building the boring infrastructure part. And what that means is that eventually you Texans are going to be stuck on that road in bumper to bumper traffic saying, wow, this is awful. Who the hell's in charge? And why does my life suck? Because this is what they did to us. And that's the scary future that we have unless our elected officials start making some smarter decisions.
I already say that to myself every day that I come to work with Jewish producer Chris, but that's another story entirely. Can you help me explain, before we get on to the power portion of this, as best you can, Daniel, because you know I'm an idiot and I don't know anything about technology, AI. I have an understanding of what it is, generally. And I understand it's big and growing. I get all that.
Yes.
But how big are we thinking this is going to be? Is it going to be everywhere? What do we think this is going to be?
I think for those of us of a certain age, which I know you are because you remember life without the internet, right? I mean, it was coming about when you were a kid and I was a kid, but we do remember a time before we went online. We remember a time that our parents said they went to the travel agent because they wanted to buy a ticket, right? Before we shopped online. There was that beginning of the internet. There's that funny video of Katie Couric and Brian Gumbel on the Today Show, and they're saying, what is internet? Like, can someone explain what internet is? No one knew what the hell it was. But those people who did, who are all multi-billionaires now, those are the Bill Gateses of the world, right? They knew what it was going to be, and they tapped into it. And now we all know what the internet is. That's exactly where we are with AI. We know, kind of have an idea. We're not positive, but those people who know how big it is going to get. And that's why these stocks like NVIDIA, that's why these governors are trying to get the AI in their area first, because they want to dominate this market and make a lot of money.
Okay, so help me explain. Let's say I'm Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Not a fan, but that doesn't matter for the purpose of this question. Let's say I'm Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, and I want AI in Texas. If it's going to strain my power grid, which it sounds like you're saying it's going to,
huge.
What does it benefit me, Governor Abbott of Texas, to want it here?
Because the companies that are building these data centers, like Microsoft or like that monster Tesla facility that is, I think it's outside of Austin. I'm not positive where it is in Texas.
That is
all money, right? These data centers have to be built. So they are buying land. So landowners want it. They are buying enormous amounts of construction material. So construction companies want it. And then they're paying premiums to the state, right? They are residents, and so they are paying enormous corporate taxes. And so the state is making a fortune, and they don't have all the people. And that's the one advantage of it over regular construction, right? If Amazon wants to build a fulfillment center in town, big, huge monster building, but there are trucks coming in and out and thousands of people coming in and out. And you can see how the residents are like, I don't want this fulfillment center down the block. For me, it's going to be a monster traffic. AI data center, once the construction's done and all those computers are hooked up, what are there, like just two nerds who are making sure the lights stay on, right? So you don't get all of the traffic footprint. And that's actually very attractive for communities. But your average data center is the equivalent of 100,000 homes in terms of electricity and in terms of water. So my beloved governor, Youngkin, who I have a problem with as well, has bragged about how a third of the AI data centers in America are now in Virginia. We have added 23 million people, the equivalent of 23 million people in terms of water consumption and electricity consumption to Virginia, and done absolutely no upgrades. And
Daniel,
so...
Sorry, I may end up keeping you on it if you have time, because I have more questions.
It.
But why do these AI data centers use so much water? You said there are two people there. Do they both have digestive problems? What's the deal?
Cooling centers, because these machines generate a lot of heat, and they use it for cooling purposes.
Okay.
And so, like, these centers are air conditioning and the cooling of the water towers is very, very cold rooms, and it uses a tremendous amount of water, huge amounts of water. Like I said, the equivalent of 100,000 homes.
Okay. I asked it because I know water is, at least in many parts of the country, in short supply, and states are trying to figure out how to get that. Can we use salt water?
So no, because salt water corrodes. So it's fresh water. Now, I mean, if I were president, I would be building huge desalination plants like you see in Israel. But that's another conversation. But everyone on the coast, I would be building them left and right. I'd be building huge pipelines from the Rockies, I'd be very concerned about water on a national level. But again, those are boring. Like who wants to talk about water? We want to talk about building. And so that's where we do, is we focus all on these exciting new things and the boring infrastructure part. is what gets left aside. We had not a lot of rain last year in where I am in rural Virginia. This year we've had a ton. This year it has rained non-friggin' stop. Last year, hardly any rain. Everyone said, wow, we're also in a drought. Rivers are drying. I was like, well, maybe. But also, we have the equivalent of 23 million additional Virginians consuming water with all the data centers we've built. Has anyone factored that into why, wow, my pond looks really low. Wow, my stream is really low. Yeah, because it's all connected and the data centers are getting priority.
How about that? He is Daniel Turner with Power of the Future. We're going to be right back as I have questions about what makes up our power grid. What do we need for this AI stuff? Competing with other countries. I'm totally nerding out on this. I'm going to be so technologically smart after this, Chris. Don't shake your head. I'll be smarter than you are. I'm already smart enough to take Relief Factor. Do you? Actually, Chris already does. I forgot. That didn't work what I just said because Chris already takes Relief Factor. You know, when you have pain, you know that Relief Factor can take it away. I'm talking about chronic pain. Sucks to live with it, doesn't it? Soul sucking is what it is. It's just brutal. You don't have to live like that. And you don't have to take things that wreck your body to mask it. Well, I'll just have another one of these and my kidneys will eventually just liquefy. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. I swear it's freaking miraculous. It was developed by doctors. You take it every day. The longer you take it, it builds up in your system, the better it works. They sell you 3 weeks of it for $19.95, and they say, hey, call back if you want more. Something like 70% of the people call back for more. Get rid of your pain. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Back with just a couple more questions for Daniel Turner. Power the Future. Okay, so you guys put out a report, powerthefuture.com. You put out a report that we need more juice. We need more power because AI is coming. We have big data centers. I guess my big questions are, where are we getting our power now, and where are we going to get three times the power we currently have to power these friggin' things?
$1 question right there. Right now, if I, in real time, I am looking at ERCOT, which is the Texas Utility Commission. I'm looking at their website, and right now it will tell you exactly where your electricity is coming from, and half of it is coming from wind and solar. So the environmentalists will celebrate and see, look how great it is. Texas, half of its electricity is coming from wind and solar. I don't know if that's good or bad. I do know that Texas has spent over $100 billion to get this system up and running. They haven't spent a dime on fossil fuels because fossil fuels are the ones who pay the taxes. I also know that Texas's utility rates have gone up around 30%, mm-hmm. way higher and way faster than the average American utility rate. So it does come at a cost. I also know that you have sacrificed hundreds of thousands of acres of land to build these stupid solar and wind farms. So yeah, you can point to the 50% of our electricity comes from wind and solar, but at what cost? Is life better for Texans right now? I would say it's more expensive. And I just looked online. It's only 96 degrees in Houston. Now, that's hot. But it also in July, in late July in Houston, it can be 110. So you're also just kind of celebrating the fact that it's not as hot as it could be. And I got to tell you, Jesse, that's not a great way to run a state. Like, well, at least it's not as hot as it could be. Thank goodness we're not in a heat wave and the grid survives. So is that how we see the future? Like, let's roll the dice and pray the wind blows, pray it's sunny, and pray it's not too hot. I think that's a pretty awful way to treat your constituents when you're charging them 30% more for their utility than they should already be paying.
So if a red state like Texas has already succumbed to this insanity, and you're 100% right about the 30% increase in power bill, we get mad about ours every single month. So mm-hmm. if a red state like Texas is shifting away to crappy power that doesn't work and it's more expensive. At the same time, we need to be tripling our power supply in this country. That sounds to me like we're heading towards a cliff.
It does. And I think that's why it was so important in this one big, beautiful bill despite it being far from perfect, is that it ended the subsidies for wind and solar, which people went bonkers over. Because as long as government is giving out free money, why don't we all build a solar farm, right? If the government's paying you, sure, I'll be in the solar business. I'll be in the wind business. And so getting rid of those subsidies will force this industry to stand on its own 2 feet. At the same time, it's going to mean these industries are going to make life even more expensive for Texans because the federal government isn't picking up the tab anymore, right? The Biden administration knew that Republicans, just as much as Democrats, like free crap from Washington, D.C. And a lot of Republicans were suckered in with free crap. But that's not the way we can run our country. Lord knows that we can't run our industry, our energy industry, this way. And it's also, I think, why the president and his energy team have emphasized fossil fuels and they've emphasized nuclear. And you've seen executive orders on all of these areas because they have small footprints, they are reliable, they don't depend upon the weather, and we have them in abundant supply, and they don't require tax dollars to keep them afloat. So if we want more, we need to build more, reopen every coal plant. Texas has shuttered, I think, 7 enormous coal plants in the last 5 years. Tell Greg Abbott to turn them back on. If they haven't been dismantled, just put the things back online. And wait till you see how your electricity bills fall. That requires a lot of political will. And Greens are paying the governor to not put them back online. Of course, it's climate change, but that's just a load of crap. All it is that they're in the wind and solar business, and they want the business now.
Do you at least put banana peppers on your Italian sub? I mean, cold or hot?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's something. Well, that's something. Yeah. He is Daniel Turner, Power the Future. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you very much.
God bless you, Jesse.
Hey, Chris, are banana peppers kosher? I want to ask before I said they are. Okay. Well, I don't know. Have you ever had one on a pizza? What do you mean you don't like banana peppers? Yes, they do taste good. It's one of the best peppers out there. Corey, you like banana peppers. Of course, Corey likes banana. Who doesn't like banana peppers? Are they too hot for you? That's probably what it is. That's probably what it is. Banana peppers are too hot for Jewish producer Chris, and now we just exposed him here on the show. Speaking of Chris, have I talked to you about gold? About buying gold from Gold Co.? You know, the debt crisis is here. Inflation hasn't gone away, as you already know. What do you think might happen when the tariffs come down? You think there may be some problems? Or when something else comes out, a new war, a new this, a new that, there's always something. How do you make sure your retirement will be there? Gold or silver, I don't care. I honestly don't care about the color. Gold doesn't impress me. What does impress me is I could put you in a time machine and fly you back 1,000 years ago, and if you had gold, you would have tremendous value. 1,000 years in the future, tremendous value. It outlasts nations and always will. Our entire country will be gone, and your gold and silver will still have value. Let Gold Co. get some in your retirement. They know what they're doing. You don't have to know what you're doing. I don't know how to do it. They do. Let them get you some physical gold and silver. Maybe you're wondering, can I trust this company? Well, the Better Business Bureau gives them an A-plus rating. Why do you think that is? 855-817-GOLD. I trusted them with my money. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. All right. We have a final hour, and we're going to churn through a bunch of emails during this final hour. Remember, Jesse at Jesse Kelly Show is the email address. We have maybe some more trouble on the horizon in Iran, and it was pretty much predictable, but looks like trouble may be coming sooner rather than later. Let's talk about that next.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with 4 other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.